Welcome to our fourth sermon in our sermon series entitled Self-Control. Today's sermon title, Temptation and Self-Control. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, and let's begin.
Several months ago, I told you about the new biography on Martin Luther by Metaxas. He tells the story, he has a chapter in here on Luther at the Diet of Worms. I'm sure you've heard of it, but let me give you a few details. So, Charles V of Spain was the king of the Holy Roman Empire. He had a bigger name than he had power. But he tried to influence power all over Europe, even though he was just from Spain. And one of the ways he exercised power in Germany was he brought Luther to trial at the Diet of Worms. It really wasn't a trial. It was an accusation that Luther either had to say guilty or innocent. And so most of you know that at that trial, Luther said his famous words, "Unless you can convince me from the scriptures and reason, I won't recant anything. Here I stand." Very powerful moment. But most people don't know what happened after that. After that, Charles had his lawyers sat down, and they wrote this against Luther. "He has sullied marriage, disparaged confession, denied the body and blood of our Lord. He makes the sacraments dependent on the faith of the recipient. He is pagan in his denial of the free will. This devil in the habit of a monk has brought all together all the ancient errors into one stinking puddle, and then he invented new ones to add to it. He denies the power of the keys. He encourages the laity to wash their hands in the blood of the clergy. He teaches rebellion, division, war, murder, robbery, arson, and the collapse of Christendom. He lives the life of a beast." If you grew up Lutheran, you never knew you were that bad, did you? "He has burned the decrees. He despises alike the ban and the sword. He does more harm to civil than to ecclesiastical power. We have labored with him, but he recognizes only the authority of the scriptures and his interpretation of it. We have given him 21 days dating from April 15th, and we have now gathered the estates. Luther is to be regarded as a convicted heretic. When the time is up, no one is to harbor him. His followers also are to be condemned, and his books are to be eradicated from the memory of man." Now, let me explain to you exactly what that means. He had these days to go somewhere out of the control of Charles V. Because after that, he could be arrested and killed at any time. He had already had his trial, and he was done. Not only did Charles make Luther an outlaw, he said anyone who helps him is an outlaw. Luther hoped to make it back to Wittenberg because he felt safe there. But while he was traveling back in a wagon, his wagon was attacked by two knights, and these knights kidnapped Luther. I always found it interesting. Before Luther would let him kidnap him, he made sure he had his bag that had his Greek New Testament and his Hebrew Old Testament in it. He wasn't going anywhere without that the Bible. So they kidnapped him, and they made him run along beside the horse until they got out of sight. Then they got down off their horses and said, "We're here to help you." He changed his monk's robe into a knight's uniform, and he went and lived for a year at Wartburg Castle, where he was safe from King Charles. Because we have grown up in America, and we have all these sense of civil rights, we have very little idea of how much pressure a person could feel when the weight of a monarch fell on them. In fact, Luther was left with almost no choices. If Frederick had not rescued him, he probably would have been killed. But God has odd ways of guiding us out of moments just like that. He has inexplicable ways of, just when we don't know where to turn, causing something to happen to give us an option that we never knew was there. This is very important in our thinking about managing our life and dealing with temptation. You don't do it alone unless you do. The scripture says very plainly that God is your partner. And as your partner, he has incredible ways of showing up with options for you to escape that temptation that you never dreamed of. All right, let's work our way through this. Paul wrote this to the church at Corinth. "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has ever overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure." I want to deal with the word "anyone who thinks." This word is really not the common word for think. It's more the word for assume or suppose. Let anyone who assumes that they are standing pay very close attention, because you are in danger of falling. We make too many assumptions, church. Do you get that? Now, I want to talk to some of you who feel like you've really got your act together. You feel like, "I'm really doing better than most. I haven't done anything really, really bad for a long time, and I'm feeling pretty good about myself." That's a dangerous place to be in, church. Do you get it? Do you remember Jesus' story about the Pharisee? He went to church one Sunday and said, "Hey, I'm feeling pretty good about myself. I'm not like the rest of these losers." Remember that story? I try to remind you of it. We can't ever let ourselves get there, church. I mustn't ever assume that I've become such a wonderful person that there's really nothing out there that can bring me down. I have to assume just the opposite, that the evil one goes about as a roaring lion looking for whom he may devour. Do you get that? Evil is out there, and it's been out there for a long time, and it's been dealing with people like us for a long time, and evil has some things figured out, and so we can't ever assume that we can actually get by days or weeks or months without a daily dependence on Christ. I have to be careful when I assume that I've got it made and I stop relying on Christ, I'm in real danger of messing up. So standing represents managing your life well. Falling represents failing when we're tested. J.I. Packer, one of my favorite modern theologians, wrote, "Sin's strategy is to induce a false sense of security as a prelude to a surprise attack." Listen to what Jesus taught his disciples. Watch and pray so that you don't enter into temptation. Do you remember who he said that to? He said it to his best, Peter, James, and John, the best of his 12. He said, "Brothers, I know you think you got this. Peter, you promised me you would never deny me. But guess what? You better pay attention, because when you're sure that you can stand, you are in danger of falling. So watch and pray that you don't enter into the test." Jesus himself said, pray every day, "Our Father who art in heaven." One of the parts of that is, "Lead us not into the test, but deliver us from the evil." Church, so then Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. I struggle with the word temptation because it's so mysterious. It's really hard to, we know what it feels like when we're being tested and tempted, but it's hard to talk about, isn't it? Isn't it a funny kind of thing to really, am I being tempted in my thoughts? Well, it's more than my thoughts. I get an emotional involvement in it. My emotions get involved in the temptations. And there's always a choice factor in the temptations. But I can deal with the word testing. Temptation means any action that leads to evil. Anything that's saying, come over to the dark side. All right. And that's kind of hard to get a handle on. But I can't get a handle on the word test. Test means an examination that proves something. Somebody makes a new recipe. It doesn't look good to you. You don't really want to put it in your mouth. But they say, come on, give it a test. Give it a try. A test allows me to examine something and prove it. So in life, I have to expect to be tested. And every one of these tests, every one of these temptations, they're proving something about who I am. Do you get this? It doesn't matter what you say you are, the tests of life prove what you are. And you're never going to be tested in a way that isn't common to all mankind. All right, if you're in the life group, I want you to write these five things down for your discussion. Number one, every test we experience in life examines our humanity. What's being tested? My humanity. So some time ago, I watched a show that talked about the life of the lady who studied chimpanzees in Africa. Her name just slipped out of my head. Yeah, Jane Goodall. Thank you. We got to work as a team here sometimes. It was a normal thing for these chimps for male chimps to beat up on females all the time. It happened every day. Well, I hope you know that it's an ungodly thing for a man to hit a woman. It's ungodly. I don't care what argument you make about chimpanzees. Every moral fiber of our body says it's just wrong when men start hitting women, right? These chimps put together gangs. They attack other chimps and kill one of them and eat them. It's a normal thing for them to do. Listen, I know we have bad gangs in America, but the last time I heard, no gang went across town, killed the other gang, took them home and barbecued them. It's inhuman, right? All right, why am I making this big deal? Because often where we're tested, we say to ourselves, I'm being tested in a way that's worse than everybody else. I've had addicted people in my office say, you don't understand, Doc, it's harder for me than everybody else. And I said, just go to our addiction group and talk to the people there, and you're going to find out it's no different for you than it is for them. So what happens? Often in temptation, we isolate ourselves so we can give ourselves an excuse. This is harder for me than other people. Sure, other people don't give in, but it's harder on me. It's worse for me. My temptation is different than theirs. No, it isn't. It's just common to humanity. Do you get it? Stop giving yourself the excuse, I have it worse. You don't have it worse. In fact, look at all the good people in this room. Everybody in this room is tempted in something. Everyone. Look at all these nice people. Everyone in this room is tempted in something. Everybody in this room has been tempted and failed and feel bad about it. Church, it's common to our humanity. It's another reason why we rely daily on Jesus Christ, because it is common for us to be tested, and it is easy for us to give ourselves excuses. And so we say, I just have to accept my lot as a human being is to be tested, and my chances of passing are higher if I have a personal relationship with Christ than if I'm trying to do this alone. Two. Well, I want to say one more thing about this. In every test, I prove who I am. Now listen, I'm never as good as I am on my very best day. Don't you love it on those days when you are at your very best, everything goes right, you're a winner? People go, wow, you're a winner. Your very best day. I'm never as bad as I am on my very worst day. Oh, you're a loser. I'm going to throw out the highs and the lows, and I'm going to say the person that I am consistently day by day, that's who I am. In your day-by-day test with the truth, if you are consistently honest, you're an honest person. In your day-by-day testing with the truth, if you're dishonest and you always spin the story and you just never quite can bring yourself to say it the way it is, you're a dishonest person. Do you get that? We have to be brutally honest with ourselves. If you don't steal because you don't have an opportunity to steal, you're not an honest person. You get that? All right. Tests
Don't teach God anything. He already knows everything about me. Tests teach me about myself. And the better I understand myself, the better I'm going to be able to manage myself. The more I deny the truth about myself, the harder it's going to be to manage my life with self-control. Two, in every test, God is faithful. Do you get this? I may not be faithful in every test, but in every test, God himself is absolutely faithful. Here's what I'm going to say. No matter what you're being tested in, the Holy Spirit is right there with you, and he's going to be faithful. He's never going to leave you or forsake you. You may not listen to him. You may not follow him. You may not obey him, but he is there, and he's going to be there faithfully to the end. God is faithful. Listen, he's faithful before the temptation as well as after the temptation. In grace, we talk about God's way of healing us after we've done things that damage our souls. But I want to talk to you about not damaging your soul to begin with. I want to talk to you about not hurting your eternal soul. I'm talking about saving yourself misery and guilt and discomfort. Because the same God who is faithful after the temptation is faithful before the temptation. And if I'll let him speak to me and I'll listen and believe what he says, I have a better chance of winning and passing the test. If I isolate myself, if I won't listen, if I, like I talked to you several weeks ago, if I won't take that moment and just stop and just for a moment say, I'm not giving in for at least the next 2 minutes. And give the Holy Spirit just 2 minutes to say, you're better than this. You're stronger than this. There's a lie here. You won't be happy. If I'll just listen, he is faithful and he'll meet me in that moment. The third thing, God never permits us to be tested beyond our ability. God never permits us to be tested beyond our ability. Do you get this? He is your heavenly Father. He loves you. You are his precious children. He's going to let you be tested, but he's never going to let you be bullied. I've recommended this book over the years hundreds and hundreds of times. I've read it cover to cover with some people who were struggling very hard. All right. John Owens lived in the 1600s. He was a university professor, and he resigned to Sin and Temptation is the name of the book. He resigned the university to be a pastor. He was Cromwell... Oliver Cromwell's pastor. After the Restoration, he was the leader of the independent movement and had dealt with all kinds of government hassles. He was a phenomenal man, and he wrote this book on sin and temptation. It's powerful, and I would really recommend it to anybody who would discipline themselves to read it. In his book, he talks about how is it that God keeps us from being tempted beyond our ability. And he talks about what he calls restraining grace. Now listen to this. God is so good that he often makes it difficult for us to do the bad stuff we would otherwise do. He makes it difficult. He restrains us. Maybe it happens something like this. You plan on doing something you know is wrong, and you meet a friend, and that friend talks to you in the kind of way that you go, yeah, I'm gonna do something different. Church? Or maybe you were going to do something and the plans fall through and you're a little grouchy that they fell through, but that was God's restraining grace. He gives five examples of restraining grace. But the overarching idea is this. God loves you so much, when you're on your way to hurt yourself, he tries to trip you. He loves you so much, with restraining grace, he trips you when you're on your way to hurt yourself. Now look, restraining grace doesn't stop you. It just makes it more difficult. It's just an obstacle. When God trips you, you can always get up and run to evil. But God said, this is the moment where I'm keeping you from being tested beyond your ability. I'm tripping you. I'm making something not go wrong. I'm interfering. I'm affecting you in some way that makes it a little more difficult for you to run to evil. 4, God provides a way to pass the test. He offers us a moment to walk away. Do you see what it says? In every test, he will provide a way of escape. I'm really not comfortable with the word escape because it sounds like I'm turning around and running somewhere. And really, that's not the concept of this word. This word literally means you will see a path that leads away from the problem. In every temptation, God is faithful, and if you'll pay attention, he'll show you this is your path to walk away on. In every temptation, if you'll pause and say, I'm not going to surrender for just a couple of minutes, the Holy Spirit, by his goodness and grace, will say, this is your path to walk away. Church. 5. God provides a way to pass the test. He increases our capacity to endure. All right. Sometimes God says, I'm going to show you a way around this test. I'm going to show you a way from this temptation. Now listen to this. Please listen to me. Sometimes we have to have the strength to endure. Do you get that? We can't always escape. Sometimes there has to be endurance. And the endurance isn't pleasant. It's a struggle. It's an inner tearing of ourselves, part of us clinging to God, and the broken and ruined and ugly part of us running to evil. It's a struggle. But listen to what the Bible says. When you have to endure, if you'll turn to your partner, he will give you the strength to endure. Now, this is what I talked to you about last week. He didn't give us a spirit of cowardice. He gave us a spirit of increased ability, of love, and wise thinking. When I have to endure something, when I can't escape it, when it's there and it's unavoidable, and I have to walk through it and endure it, then I can look to the Holy Spirit and say, you promised me an increased ability in a moment just like this, and I'm asking for that increased ability right now. I can turn to the Holy Spirit and say, you promised that you would affect my emotion center and I would feel more in love with the things I should love and less in love with the things I shouldn't love. I'm asking you to touch my heart right now. I can turn to the Holy Spirit and say, you promised that you would give me wise thinking, and I acknowledge to you that in this temptation, my thinking is not right. Please help me to think right and endure this. Do you see what I'm saying, church? I have a partner in every test. I'm allowed to have a partner. It's not cheating. God sent his spirit to be my partner. But, and this is the hard part, I have to be, I got to be willing to listen and believe. In his book, Sin and Temptation, Owen says there's not just restraining grace, there's renewing grace. God will renew his grace within you at those times that you most need it. But yet we have to turn to him, church. Can you get this? I'm not going to do it by myself, but I have a partner, and if I will turn to him, he will renew my strength. The prophet Isaiah said, they that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. Isn't that an awesome promise? All right, let me wrap this all up. I'm a human being and I'm going to be tempted. So I have to challenge my assumptions about my ability to do it without God, and I have to have a daily connection with Christ. Can we all agree to that? I mean, we're Christians. I have to have a daily connection to Christ every single day. In my testing, God already knows me better than I know myself. In my testing, I'm proving something to myself. I'm proving that I am an authentic Christian. I'm proving that I trust in God. I prove that I grow in grace. Or I'm proving that I am not who I have been professing to be. Church. And either way, there's hope. If I'm honest, I only lose all hope when I lie to myself and say, my life proves this, but. When I am being tested, I have to hear what the faithful God says to me. You say I am loved. You say I belong. You say I fit in. You say you're my God. You say you will help me. I have to hear what he says and believe it. I have to look for the way to walk away. I have to draw upon the Spirit's ability, love, and wise thinking. And when God renews his grace to me, I have to be willing to act in a way that part of my broken self doesn't want to. Church, that's life management right there. Do you get that? That's managing your life well. That's the essence of self-control. I am managing myself to prove that I am the person that I profess to be. And God, by his Spirit, is giving me the grace to do it.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.